Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
ESPN's Michael Eaves joins Hoopsology to discuss his favorite sports coverage moments, the rise of player media, the decline of sports journalism, the ascent of Caitlin Clark, and much, much more. This was a fantastic chat with Michael, him spending some time with us. Make sure to catch Michael Eaves on SportsCenter. Make sure to catch all of his coverage, that he is a premier journalist and premier anchor on ESPN. Hoopsology is presented by Ball's Life. And now, Michael Eaves. He is a SportsCenter anchor and studio host for ESPN. We have the pleasure in welcoming Michael Eaves onto Hoopsology. Welcome, Michael.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for coming on to the show. Really appreciate it. We have a tradition on the podcast of a lot of our guests because we don't really cover just the main topics that's happening every day within just the NBA and WNBA, but we get into basketball culture as a whole. And just want to ask you, any way you want to take this, what is your first basketball memory or favorite basketball?
Wow, those are very distinct. Because I grew up in Kentucky, where, you know, college basketball is king, but even local high school basketball is a big deal, much more than football in Kentucky than the other southern states. So my first basketball memory is literally playing basketball on a dirt court in my backyard is my first memory of basketball. My favorite basketball memory, man, you should have given me some heads up on this one, because I've been very fortunate in my life to witness some of the more memorable moments in basketball, whether it was in college, when I attended the University of Kentucky, or even my professional career. And then sometimes when it's happening, you don't realize how great it is until after. I probably put Kobe's 81-point game up there.
Oh, wow.
I was at that game, and you know, that was during a run where he was just putting up points all over the place. And so for him to go off early, it just didn't necessarily mean anything other than what we've seen. But once you get to the second half, you start looking at the scoreboard, he's already got 60, and he's up. He's like, boy, he's got 70. He's going to pass Elgin Baylor, and all of a sudden, he's got 81. I think looking back, that was definitely one of my favorite moments because I was there and I was working that night on the Lakers telecast.
So I want to kind of, since you mentioned Kobe, I want to kind of talk about the media and way basketball is covered. During Kobe's time, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you saw a lot of players really controlling their narrative in terms of podcasts or YouTube channels or social media. Now that's highly prevalent. I believe LeBron James and JJ Redick came out with their own basketball-centric podcast just a couple of days ago. Where do you kind of see the media industry when it comes to the hoops going in terms of how consumers and fans consume just their highlights in particular within the basketball world? Do you think it's a great thing that players are kind of getting in, showing a different perspective that's been normally not shown previously? Like, what do you think of kind of this rise of Draymond Green, LeBron, other players getting into the media space even while they're still playing?
I think everything is being driven by technology and the evolution of it and its impact on media. Right now, you have a generation of athletes now who grew up with social media and a camera in their pocket, okay? So for those athletes, it's nothing to be on camera in some regard and sharing their thoughts and feelings about something, whether it's their sport or their interest outside of their sport. So it's very comfortable for a lot of these athletes now to be able to do that. Prior to this latest generation, and even like when I was first coming into the business, so much of sports coverage was driven by newspapers. Yeah. And not television. The games were on TV, but the coverage was in the newspaper, right? And that clearly started to evolve as well as technology changed. And then social media came in and how people consume news. That's why you have the Adrian Wojnarowskis and the Adam Schefters become so popular, because they could get the news much faster, not have to wait for the newspaper in the morning, right? And then from a SportsCenter standpoint on ESPN, that's where you went to go see highlights all the time, or maybe even your local sportscast, depending on what market you were in. But now you don't have to wait for that appointment television. Now you can get the highlights sent right to your phone, right? So that evolution has changed how fans consume their sports. And as it relates to the athletes themselves, look, I think it's great in any time that some athlete wants to be in a position to present their thoughts and feelings on a particular topic, whether it's their sport or something else. So I'm happy for Draymond and JJ Redick and all these other athletes who have these podcasts, and some of them are actually very entertaining. My concern is, and I'm a journalist, so in this regard, I'm probably biased, but even not, like, there are certain things that I see as it relates to media that I can see becoming an issue. What you want is genuine truth, okay? From an athlete, from a coach, whomever, you want genuine truth. And if athletes are only sharing their feelings and narrative on their platforms, I don't know how genuine that truth is always going to be. Because we as humans, we are protective by nature. And so if you want to protect certain aspects of your narrative, it's easy to do if the only person you're talking to is either yourself, like mostly Draymond's podcast is, or other athletes like Gilbert Arenas. Like, you know, Gil's podcast has been very popular, but you don't have a true journalist on those podcasts asking questions and follow-up questions and challenging answers. That is what you get from journalism. And I think a lot of people in society now, they can't tell the difference, or they choose not to, between a journalist and someone that's just in media. Okay, just because you're on television or just because you're writing a blog does not make you a journalist. That is different, right? I have a journalism degree. But not everything I do on ESPN is always journalism, right? So I go back and forth sometimes. Stephen A. Smith is a journalist, but the majority of stuff he does now is not journalism. But we've seen him go back and forth sometimes when he's reporting news, source news, whatever. That is being a journalist. And when you do an interview, when you're having a conversation with an athlete or a coach, you have to go back to journalism sometimes to get that genuine truth. And that, to me, is invaluable as it relates to storytelling. And that's really what fans want. Now, if you're just a fan of LeBron and you just want to hear all good things about LeBron, then there's a place for you to go do that. But if you want the genuine truth, then you need to have him in an interview setting with a true journalist asking questions to get that genuine truth. And I'm a little fearful that that dynamic is going to go away, because now the players don't need people in traditional media roles in order to get their narrative out there. As you said, they can do it themselves. And when you do it yourself, you can control the narrative a lot, and sometimes you leave things out purposely.
So are you worried that this might trickle down to even college or prep athletics with NIL, just because now you're getting to a point to where, you know, high school athletes are controlling their brands, college athletes are controlling their brands a lot earlier than when they get into the pros. So, you know, normally you would have journalists asking these questions, but since they might have a podcast where they're in college, they might not need the narrative of a journalist. Are you worried that, you know, journalism might be phased out even at an earlier phase prior to the pros?
Well, I'm worried about it, not just in sports, but just overall in society, whether it's political reporting, educational reporting, finance. Yes, I'm concerned about journalism and what some people are literally trying to do to it, whether it's Elon Musk or Donald Trump or whoever's trying to sow discord in what is truly a pillar of our society is journalism, going back to the founding fathers. I mean, that is just what our society has been based on as it relates to checks and balances and how our society is going to be run. Journalism has that key role in it. So I'm concerned about it overall. But to answer your question, yes, it is going to trickle down to college athletes and high school athletes, because everything else does when it comes to athletics and sports, right? The younger generation, they get their lead from the current stars in their respective sports. I was the same way when I was a basketball player growing up. You know, I looked at Charles Barkley as one of my basketball idols. A lot of things he did, I did. On the court, tried to, same thing. And then you see how guys dress back in the day in the 80s and the 90s. Athletes, the way they dressed going to games was, you know, very sharp. And so I would try to dress up on occasion as well, because Michael Jordan was doing it, right? Because Larry Bird was doing it. Well, Larry, not so much, but Magic Johnson was doing it. And so all of those things do trickle down. And if athletes today, especially professional athletes, can get out there and provide a way for other guys to follow, then those younger players and younger athletes are definitely going to try to emulate exactly what they see.
So I want to transition. I want to get your thoughts on Caitlin Clark. I believe there was a poll that came out by Seton Hall Sports Poll. It said by a 2-1 margin, Caitlin Clark is the best known college basketball player in America. And you're on the pulse of what's happening within the sports world. To the best of your synopsis, can you kind of describe when you first knew that Caitlin Clark was not only going to be, of course, as a phenomenon within women's college basketball, but just all of sports? Did you kind of have a feeling, or when you're doing a highlight, you're like, hey, there's something different about this athlete?
I'd probably say for me specifically, it was her sophomore year when I really took notice of just how damn good she is. She's phenomenal as a basketball player. Her skill set, her IQ, and her tenacity and her will to win. Like, she has the perfect combination of a superstar athlete, regardless of the sport. She has that combination. So that's when I first realized how good she is and what her potential could be. And then it wasn't until her junior year, last year, when I saw her stardom start to take off. And that had a lot to do with the way she plays. Okay, we are a star-driven society. You know, we should never forget that as it relates to what is popular on a day-to-day basis in this country. It is driven by stars. And the way she plays makes you want to watch her. Whether you are an Iowa fan or an Iowa hater, or a Caitlin Clark fan or a Caitlin Clark hater, you are drawn to watch her. Similar to how Michael Jordan played when he first came into the NBA, or even in college, but especially when he came to the NBA. The way he played made everybody watch him. That's the impact that she has had on the women's game specifically, and now on college basketball as a whole, crossing into the men's game in terms of who knows who, right? That's when I really started to recognize it. And what she's been able to do, even in the wake of that stardom, to me, may be the most impressive thing. There's no player in college basketball, men or women, who faces more pressure night to night than Caitlin Clark. And she continues to excel under that pressure, not crumble, not just get by, she excels in that pressure. And that, to me, speaks to everything about her stardom.
So with her success, and she's not the only one, we've seen Paige Buckers, Juju Watkins, several other players within kind of the women's college basketball just genre there. I guess my question for you, since you do this highlights on a regular basis, mm-hmm. Do you see the women's game continue to overshadow the men's game? Because I have more excitement about the women's tournament than the men's, and you know, my college that I went to is in it. So do you see that trend continuing even with Caitlin Clark going to the WNBA?
I don't know about overshadow. That may be a little too strong. Okay. I think from a name recognition, the women's game currently today in 2024 has more star recognition by players than the men's game does, right? That has generally not been the case, but it may not always be the case, right? Like, certain trends happen, but that doesn't mean that's going to be the continuing trend going forward. I'm not saying it won't, but I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves and say that the women's game is going to overshadow the men's game for the next decade. That may or may not happen, because once we get past Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers and Angel Reese and Juju Watkins, who are the other players? Well, we don't know yet, right? And same thing happens in men's basketball. There have been dips in times with star power in the men's game, and this is one of those years. But next year, like this draft, for example, the players coming out of men's basketball right now to the NBA, the draft is kind of weak. Well, next year is supposed to be way better than that. And then if those stars, whether we get Cooper Flagg or some other players come in, it's like, oh, wow, look at these dudes. Will that then make us not pay attention to much of the women's game now that Caitlin Clark is gone? We don't know yet. Time will only tell. But I am happy that this generation of current women's basketball players in the college ranks have brought more attention to the overall women's college basketball landscape. And also, especially with Caitlin Clark's pursuit of the all-time scoring record, it's also been a history lesson to go back and look at all the other great players from back in the day, you probably didn't get the shine they deserved at the time, right? So I would caution anything about what will continue, because we don't know. It is about the stars. If there's another batch of stars coming behind these women, then it may happen again. But if we get some great male players, then we're going to go to wherever the stars are. The biggest stars always determine the viewership.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, just through your entire career, you've witnessed a lot of great moments. Do you have anything that comes to mind, specifically, you mentioned Kobe's 81, but do you have anything else that comes to mind in terms of either college basketball or pro that you remember you couldn't wait just to, you know, give that highlight just to the audience watching that comes to mind? Anything recently or in the past that really, really captured your attention, that really just that sticks even to this day?
Dude, that's another good question. Just because I've witnessed so many cool things that I never thought I would have had the opportunity to. The Mike Tyson-Lennox Lewis fight in Memphis, Tennessee in the early 2000s was by far the most excitement and energy I've ever felt prior to a sporting event. It gives me goosebumps even when I think about the goosebumps I felt right before that fight happened. Kobe's 81-point game, that was great. There was also a game between the Dodgers and the Padres when I was working in Los Angeles. The Dodgers hit four consecutive home runs in the bottom of the ninth inning to send it to extra innings, and then Nomar Garcia-Parra hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 10th. That had never happened before, and I was there, and I got to interview Nomar on the field for the walk-off interview. The Bush push game, USC Notre Dame, on the field. I was there for that. The kick six game in between Auburn and Alabama. I was on the field for that. Matter of fact, the last two touchdowns that Auburn scored, the dude ran right by me because I was standing at that pylon on that side of the field. All of those things. Tiger winning the Masters in 2019 for the fifth time and hearing those people chant his name as he walked up the 18th fairway, which does not happen traditionally at Augusta. Because they've all been so cool and so unique, I was at the Gonzaga game in UCLA when Adam Morrison, they're trying to get to the Final Four, and UCLA was down like, 9 points in the final like minute and a half or something. They came back and won that game. Like, some of those things you don't expect to happen, which is the cool thing about sports. That's why we always watch. You never know what's going to happen. And for me to be there and witness so many of those things, it's really hard for me to rank them and put them in order because they're all so unique within themselves. I'm just pleased and hyped that I was be able to witness so many of those things.
Michael, this has been a fantastic chat. Thank you very much for joining us. Can you please let our audience know where they can find you on social media and then where they can catch you on SportsCenter and any other projects you're working on as well?
Yeah, SportsCenter at night, usually at least 11 o'clock on the East Coast, or midnight sometimes as well. It just depends on the shows, but I'm always at night on SportsCenter. Twitter, Michael Eaves, at Michael Eaves, very easy to find me. And on Instagram, at Mr. Michael Eaves. Had to be a little more up to date, a little more distinguished on Instagram. Make sure everyone knows I'm not a kid anymore.
Appreciate it, Michael. Thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate the insight and perspective.
Hey, no problem, man. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Hoopsology, presented by Boss Life. If you have comments or questions about this episode, please email hoopsologypod@gmail.com. Also, leave us a review on iTunes and follow us on all social media platforms.